Now, I'm joined in studio by someone who is absolutely no stranger to the show at this stage, Claire Fulham. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Also known as Claire Balding.
Yes.
To thousands of people who follow you on social media. I've not met you before, mm-hmm. So lovely to see you. And also sitting beside you is Claire's husband, Ian O'Byrne. First time on the show for you.
This is my first time.
First time, yeah. Okay. So it is. It's a real family affair.
Yeah.
And it's not, we can't have guests generally together. So yeah. You guys obviously from the same unit.
Unfortunately, we live together, Catherine, yeah. So we have to
quarantine
for
each other.
How has lockdown been for you?
We've two small kids. We've 9 and 5 year olds. And like, that's not the worst, can I just say. Like, they're grand, you know, but it's been testing. Yeah, I think like everybody else, it's just you feel sorry for them because they can't socialise, and you feel sorry for yourself because you can't socialise. But Ian works in a primary school as well. So Ian's facing into basically another lockdown until September. So good luck with that.
Oh my God.
I know, but it's been tough for everybody, I think. But I think we're starting to see hopefully some light at the end of the tunnel.
See some light, yeah. Absolutely. Well, listen, we are going to talk about your new business venture,
yes.
And which is great. I love hearing new business stories that, you know, especially when things are so difficult for
yeah.
people. But let's just go back for people who haven't heard your story. I know mm-hmm. you were on with Ray before and you were on with Baz as well. But talk to us about, you were an alopecia sufferer.
Yeah.
And I don't know, do you say you were or you are?
I think you say you are. Yeah.
You are.
Because I think it's something that comes and goes. You know, it's like one of my stress triggers, really, unfortunately. Now, the first time I got it, so yeah, 4 years ago, I lost 85% of my hair within 3 weeks. So it was kind of coin-shaped marks all over the scalp, which is kind of a real trait of alopecia areata is what it's called. So there's loads of different types of alopecias. So I was in a wig within 3 weeks. I had hair quite similar to what I have today. Thank God it's all back now, which is amazing. But within the 3 weeks, really, I kind of lost myself completely. It's very difficult to physically see yourself change so quickly as well. And no real answer for it or reason why, you know, that was the most difficult part.
And if you don't mind me saying, like, you have an amazing mop of red hair.
Yeah.
It's stunningly beautiful. And, you know, I'm not somebody who's ever had good hair. I've always had sort of very weak hair and very fine hair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have friends who have big heads of hair. And do you know who I'm thinking of now? Sue me on Operation Transformation.
Oh,
the
yeah.
doctor's on that. She has the most beautiful head of hair.
Yeah.
Not that it defines her, but every time I think of her, I think of
hair.
That. And
yeah.
you probably, you know,
yeah.
with a head of hair like that you have, mm-hmm. with that beautiful red hair, it was something. It was your sort of crowning
yeah.
glory,
it was like,
was
you know,
it?
Claire with the red hair. So
yes.
it wasn't like Claire Fulham or, you know, it was like, you know, Claire with the red hair. And that was the way like everyone kind of described me growing up, or you know, so it was a tough one. And I think, I suppose, when you rely on such a physical feature, which we do, we hide behind things and we're all
totally.
Of it, for that to then disappear, it's really difficult to look in the mirror and even see that person again. You can't see yourself, you don't recognize yourself. All of a sudden, my eyebrows started to go as well. And as I said, so quickly was such kind of a shock to the system, you know.
Mm.
And then I went for treatment. I went to visit a trichologist in Dublin, went for treatment, did treatment for a number of weeks. I think it was 20 weeks altogether. But
wow.
within the 8th week of doing treatment, my hair started to come back.
Okay.
And it was very much, I started to kind of get into a deep depression, if I'm going to be honest. It was difficult for me to go to work. It was difficult for me to get out of the bed. I had 2 young kids. Thank God Ian was there and he was so reliable and was able to cook a meal.
Well, Ian,
because
I'm going to bring
tough.
You in there, because yeah. to see your wife going through that, and obviously to see the not just the physical effects but the emotional and the mental effects that it
yeah.
took on her. How was that for you? And because if it is stress related, obviously you're kind of trying to keep everything as stress free as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was an extremely hard time because you're so unable to help really as well, and all you can do is put a hand on someone's back and go, well, we're all here for you, and just to yeah keep the put a meal on the table or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you're seeing someone fall apart in front of you, and there's very little that you can do, and there's only so many times someone wants to hear, well, you're still beautiful to me, or the hair is not what I fell in love with, or anything like that. So
thank God.
But it almost is like you had to get okay with it mm-hmm. before everybody else. So even Ian probably telling you those things that
yeah.
you look gorgeous. And because you guys were childhood sweethearts
yeah.
as well,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. yeah, we're together since we're 18. So 15 years this year
she
we'll be together.
She said no to me a few times.
I did, yeah. I bat him off. Yeah.
What was it about her, Ian, back then?
Well, I'd love to say it was the hair, but she actually had it dyed black at that point.
Oh, I went through a phase.
Black and straightened. No, we were just like... She was and still is beautiful, but we were really we were really good friends, and we'd go to parties and we'd go off, we'd be sitting somewhere having a chat for hours, and
all our friends were like, did you just kiss each other?
Yeah, definitely kissed each other.
And we were like, no!
But
it
didn't happen. She kept saying no, but then eventually, yeah, it cracked the
you
nuts
wore
eventually.
Her down. You wore her down. Yeah. You wore her down. So back to you, Claire, trying to deal with it, trying to come to terms with it, and you were reassured by a specialist that you'd seen mm-hmm. that it would grow back. Did you believe them when those words came out of their mouth?
I suppose it kind of gave me a sense of relief in that moment. You know, I was like, okay, but how bad is it going to get? And she's like, it's going to get worse before it's going to get better. You will probably lose a lot of hair. Now, I think I shocked them. I kind of broke the mold a little bit because I lost a huge amount of hair. Most people who have alopecia areata have two or three spots on their head, or patches is what they're called. And they're able to hide them with the rest of their hair. They're able to style their hair a certain way. You wouldn't see them. Or in men as well, I don't know if sometimes you notice a circular grey or white patch on a man's head, normally the back of the head. And that again is a patch of alopecia areata. That we wouldn't have seen or really noticed, and then it grows back, and most of the time it grows back white or stressed or grey. So a lot of the time, you know, you're not supposed to lose that much hair when you have that type of alopecia, but as I said, I kind of broke the mold in that. So when it got very, very bad, I think there was a bit more. Now we don't know, we can't guarantee anything, of course they can't, but it was nice to hear that. But I didn't really believe her in that instance. But again, like, look at me now, I've loads of hair back, thank God. But within the 8th week of treatment, I noticed it coming back. And it was funny, that day when I went in for treatment, I didn't want to. I was so depressed, I was so sad, I was so vulnerable, you know. I didn't want to peel off my wig and sit there and stare at myself in the mirror while getting my treatment done. I didn't want to put my wig back on, walk down Dame Street, get on the 1-2-3. I didn't want to do it that day. And I remember I was like, Claire, snap yourself out of this. If you've no hair for the rest of your life, you're still going to be okay. You can walk, you can talk, you've got two gorgeous kids, a gorgeous husband. You're really going to have to cop on now. And that day I went in and I sat there and I peeled off the wig. I'm fine, and the usual stuff I do. And she, give me your phone. And she showed me all of this brand new white baby hair all over my head. And I could put money, €1 million on it if I had it, that there was no hair there that day. And that kind of relinquishing that, and that kind of going, do you know what, Claire, just let it go. Because when you struggle, sometimes it's okay just to put a lid on it then, and you didn't win that fight and go on and fight something else. And that the instant I did that, everything changed. My hair came back within weeks. A new lease of life I had again. And I was slowly but surely becoming Claire again. I'd lost her completely, but I could see a little spark coming back. And it's taken me 4 years for really that to happen. And so much has happened within those 4 years that, you know, it's been a struggle at times. But I really felt like I never knew what I wanted to be when I grew up, but now I do. Mm. And it's because of that horrible time I went through, you know.
So in terms of the stress, because let's talk about stress, because there's a lot of people out there, and I know, and I'm kind of careful and I'm mindful, because there's different types of alopecia,
yeah,
and the treatments that you went on did, and the products that you used, like the combination of lots of different things worked for you. But do you believe that it was actually just accepting and mm-hmm. and relinquishing and relieving your stress of the body, and that you were putting yourself under as well, was part of that?
Yeah, 100%. I think I could have been sitting getting my treatments, you know, now still. I think I'd be sitting there with my wig. If I had just kept that wig on me and just not learned to accept that it was okay not to have hair, I wouldn't have any now. I really truly believe that. And no lotion or potion or no treatment will work for one person. Mm. But what I think it does do is great advice, but honest advice, and a point in the right direction, and almost a to feel proactive, to feel like I'm doing something for my hair today. Mm. That gives you an awful lot of kind of sense of calm, I suppose, a little bit as well. So, but unfortunately, we put thousands into my hair trying to get it back. Mm. And if I had it just left it alone, I probably still would have had hair if I got to that acceptance point. But I needed to spend a bit of money to get there, to understand that actually, hair or no hair, I'm going to be okay. Mm. But I think all the steps that I took to get there, of course, I needed to go through that as well. I think it's a process. But 100%, I think that if I hadn't have accepted it, which is easier said than done.
Yeah, because I was just going to say, all we've been doing all week is, and me included, talking about getting into the hairdressers and feeling, you know, getting the colour done, getting rid of the roots, getting rid of the greys, mm-hmm. the whole thing, and feeling good, because everybody who goes to the hairdressers knows that feeling.
Yeah.
But what you're saying as well is that you reached a point where you understood that not letting anything physical define you,
yeah,
like not, you know, getting rid of all the guilt and the shame, mm-hmm. like that's a massive lesson to learn. It's a very hard lesson to learn, but an amazing lesson to learn.
Oh, absolutely. Don't carry me like that with me forever, you know? And I think we always talk about it as well, which is really funny. Farah, our daughter, was only 5 when it was happening. And I was like, she remembers, you know? And she used to scoop up my hair and stuff and hide it on me and put it in the bin for me. And I remember we were watching, she was doing Shrek, the musical. And I remember saying to her, like, sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter what you look like. And Princess Fiona, we kept like comparing me to Princess Fiona. And it was just really like, it doesn't matter what you look like. And, you know, Catherine, like us women, our boobs will sag, we'll get wrinkles, our hair will fall out, our hair will thin, but you're still Claire and Catherine and Ian and everybody else. And I really found that no one around me worth their salt cares whether I have hair or not. They just love me for who I am. And that's a huge, really difficult, as you said, to have to go through that lesson ever. But it's taught me so much, you know, and how to appreciate others and how to, it doesn't matter what you look like. It's about how you treat others. That's what they'll remember you for, not your gorgeous hair, you know. So it's a hard lesson, but the best lesson.
You are training to be a trichologist.
Yeah.
That is brilliant. So there's 7 trichologists in the country. These are, now they're obviously, tell me what an actual trichologist it is and what, how do you become one? How long does it take? What does it involve?
Okay, so trichologist is a specialist and they look after the scalp and in particular hair loss. So there is only very, very few trichologists in Ireland. The reason being, I was like, why is there so little? Then I started doing the course. I was like, all right, that's why, because the course is really hard. So it's expensive. You do it online or you go to London as well. So it depends on kind of what way you choose to do it. So I'm opening a business. I've got 2 kids. I'm running a house. We're doing everything else. So it's kind of a bit mad. So I can't.
And how much is the course?
It's to travel as well comes about 10,000 euros. So it's very expensive, you know. I'm actually getting help from Image Skillnet. So I have to give them a little shout out. They help kind of people within the industry, in the beauty industry as well, when they're trying to kind of upskill and stuff. So always get on to them if you're looking to do a course, Image Skillnet. But they're giving me a little proportion of the course and stuff, which is really fantastic and really helps us, you know. But yeah, the course is, it can be done over 4 years, it can be done over 2 years, it can even be done in 6 months if you really gave it that. So when Corona hit, I was like, I'm going to have this course done. It's going to be grand. I'm going to have it all done. I do have most of it. I just thought there'd be so much more time there to do it. You know what I mean? But then 2 kids and it's just been harder than I expected, you know.
But the idea is that you being a qualified trichologist, I know you're already a scalp specialist, but you're setting up a company, the two of you together, called Trua.
Yes.
Which means compassion.
Yeah.
And what is the basis of the business? It's not a hairdresser's, because you were involved in hairdressers before, but this is solely for people who have alopecia, is it?
It's solely for people with hair problems, and scalp issues. Yeah. So whether that be hair loss, whether that be psoriasis, dermatitis of the scalp, whether that be hair breakage, you know, so they get into, it's not just the scalp that's trichologists study, it's the hair as well and the bonds of the hair and how they grow and why they don't grow and all that kind of stuff. So really what this will be is a one-stop shop. I remember when I was going through hair loss, I'd have to go get my wig, I had to get my eyebrows tattooed on because they all fell off. Then I had to go to a trichologist. Then I had to go to my GP for this. Then I had to go to counselling for this. Then I had to go to so many places. And every time I went to the next person, I had to explain my story all over again, which was heartbreaking to me, you know. I'd have to do that. So I was like, why isn't there this one-stop shop for it, you know? So I'll be the trichologist there, the main trichologist. We're going to have private rooms for everybody. I'm going to do wig fittings, micropigmentation, like tattooed eyebrows, eyelashes. Because a lot of women and men who go through a hair loss, they suffer with their eyebrows and their eyelashes and all that kind of stuff. Scalp pigmentation too. So tiny little tattooed dots along the scalp line to kind of, I suppose, fill in the gaps of thinning hair and all that kind of thing. Treatments for hair loss as well. So loads of different types of treatments for hair loss depending on what hair loss you have, you know.
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
And how many people, I don't know if you guys know, like I know there's so many different types of alopecia, but how many people suffer with it in Ireland?
In terms of globally in women, it's 3 in 5 will suffer from some form of hair loss in their life.
Okay.
And then it goes to, you know, a little bit less when it comes to alopecia and stuff. But alopecia is any sort of hair loss. So after baby, a lot of women lose a lot of hair. And this would be a place for them to come and just get the really good advice, tell them exactly what should be going on and kind of set them on road and on track for that. Okay. But I wanted somewhere completely, you don't have to go anywhere else.
So right now, Ian, the business is online because you guys are in business together. Are you giving up the day job to do this as well?
No.
No, so you're just supporting your both business directors.
I'm like the dog's body, really. But I know the difference between a purifying shampoo and a balancing shampoo now.
I'd imagine at the business meetings or sitting down together, do you get a word in edgeways?
No, or not really. No. My job is to pack bags and to make sure they're bubble wrapped as they go
but
out.
But he
right
does
now
it so well. So.
But it is, it's for the two of you, it's a kind of a nerve-wracking time. I mean, anybody setting up a business like this, but when you're taking a risk, and you always take a risk setting up a new business, you've got two kids, you've got a mortgage to pay. How are you feeling with all of that in terms of pressure as well?
Everything was fine, and then COVID-19 hit. So when we took the step off the cliff, it was back in January, and then that was a risk anyway in itself. Yeah. And then obviously this hit, and so it's kind of put a slower approach on it. But in a way that hasn't been bad, because it's given us time to catch our tails as well and get the website up and running, which is doing really well at the moment. And there's lots of orders going through, so that's been great.
So when do you think you'll be open for business?
We hope.
I know you're open for business online, and we'll put that out as well.
We hope September, October. We hope. So that's with everything going well and there isn't all these second waves and everything else that we're hearing about. So hopefully September, October.
Okay.
Please God, yeah.
Lovely to meet you both.
Thank you.
Forced to be reckoned
with.
Thank
you very much.
And I love that you're childhood sweethearts. Smile on my face. Thanks a million, guys.
Thanks
it's Trua. What's the website?
Truahair.ie.
Truahair. TRUAHair.ie.
Thank you.
Well
thank
done,
you
guys.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.